Ann Gibbons is an award-winning science writer. She's been the primary writer on human evolution for Science magazine for over a decade. Gibbons is also the author of The First Human, The Race to Discover Our Earliest Ancestors. What inspired Gibbons to write about a group of international teams obsessed with solving the mystery of human evolution?
I went to France to profile a man named Michel Brunet, who found what is now the oldest known fossil, oldest potential ancestor of the human family, a beautiful 95% complete skull that lived in what is now Chad 7 million years ago. And Michel Brunet, when I got to France, was 62 years old, and he said to me, "I'm poor, I'm French, I'm crazy, and I'm a socialist." And then he got in his Mercedes. I thought, this man's story is going to be very interesting. And he did not discover this fossil until he was in his early 60s, after a lifetime of searching. And he was then just one of four teams that had been in a very competitive race. This is a very cutthroat field. And the human stories were so thrilling, I couldn't sleep at night thinking that this is an amazing book. I have to tell these stories of the people and their quest.
You know, what I think is so surprising to those reading the book is to discover how competitive it is. It sounds as though these are all scientists. They all have a common goal. They ought to be working together somehow.
Yeah, just like
you laugh.
Completely. It's just like high-energy particle physics, human genome genetics, White House politics. Whenever there are scarce resources, i.e. fossils, in difficult places that are hard to get access to, with governments that are not always easy to get permits, there's intense competition for these resources. And so in a way, it's a little bit like natural selection at work. The people that survive in this field, in fact, for me, that was a key question. In an intense cutthroat race, where people are working in extreme circumstances, and these are the harshest environments in the world, who survives? You know, what does this say about human nature? That was a subtext of what I was writing. I had heard John Irving, who's, you know, many of you know probably as a great novelist, speak, and he said when he writes a book, he thinks about, you know, who survives in the worlds that he creates? And I thought, my goodness, that's a perfect way to think of these people that I'm writing about. Mm. What does it take to survive?
So tell me a little bit about the people. Who is it that you followed as they pursued this goal?
I followed four teams. One was Michel Brunet, who I told you was the French paleontologist, who is tremendously charismatic and fascinating to follow. He found the fossil that is almost 7 million years old. And then I also followed a team that works in Ethiopia, Tim White, who is an irreverent Californian, brilliant, irascible, doesn't mince his words when he doesn't like what his colleagues are doing. His team, which includes a number of Ethiopians that he has trained, work in Ethiopia, and they found fossils almost 6 million years old, between 4 and 6. I followed Meeve Leakey, who's fascinating. She married Richard Leakey into the famous Leakey family of fossil fame. And as Richard Leakey would say, he was famous and the only paleontologist on the cover of Time in the 70s. She's the better scientist of the couple. She loves working in the field and found a fossil that was 4 million. And then the fourth team were a little bit outsiders that came in at the end. Martin Pickford, British-born Kenyan, and his partner Brigitte Sanut, a French woman. And they came in and began working at an American site in Kenya. And that caused great waves because the American accused them of stealing his site. Ooh. And lo and behold, they found a fossil that was 6 million years old. Those were the teams.
You've described them very well. I guess the other thing that we need to know is exactly what is it that they were pursuing? The fossil evidence of a hominid?
Yes. And these, you have to remember, now I'm writing not about creatures that look like us. As Tim White said, you would not invite these fossils to dinner. They look more like chimpanzees, although they are not chimpanzees. These are hominids, or sometimes they're known as hominines. The defining character of the earliest members of the human family at the moment is that they walked upright. But their brains were the size of chimpanzees' brains. They probably stood around 4 feet, the size of a small chimpanzee. They probably spent most of their time still in the trees and forests. That's a new discovery in the last decade. Not out in the open savanna yet. This is before stone tools, before language, before most of the behaviors we think of as human. But they were walking upright, and that is only... Habitual upright walking is only found in the human family among all the primates.
I hate to appear stupid, but how do you tell from a fossil whether it walked upright?
especially a skull, right?
Right.
You know, if a headless creature walked upright. Well, you can look at the shape of the bones. If you're lucky enough to have leg, ankle, toe bones, you can tell an upright walking creature's bones because of the way the weight has to balance over the foot, has a different shape. It curves in a different way. You can cut open that bone or take images of it from the inside CT scans and look at the way the weight was distributed and see if it was standing upright, which is what has been done with leg bones. A skull is a harder problem. You can look at the angle, the hole where the spine comes into the base of a skull. Where it sits can tell you if it sat directly atop a spine or if the spine entered from the back of the head like a chimpanzee or other creature that walks on all fours or knuckle walks. So there's a lot of science, yeah.
Well, when you find the evidence, when the scientists find a fossil, the first thing they have to do is try to prove that it is not just another chimpanzee.
Exactly. An ancestor. Now, you have to remember, chimpanzees have been evolving 5 to 7 million years as well. Our ancestor separated from the ancestor of chimpanzees. So chimps that are 4 to 7 million years old don't look just like modern chimpanzees either. And that is the big question. Are all of these fossils members of the human family, extinct lineages, you know, types of ground apes? Was there a radiation, a bunch of ground apes running around? Are they ancestors of chimpanzees? This is the debate about these very early fossils or ancestors of gorillas. So they're all looking for more. Michel Brunet is looking for leg bones now, of course, to go with his skull. He'd love to find that or other members, other jaw bones, to prove that this indeed was a hominid. Mm.
Do each of these teams have different approaches? I mean, in addition to being in different places, Brunei was in Chad and Tim White was in Ethiopia, the others were in Kenya. Did they have different ways of searching for these hominids?
Well, there is an art to searching. There's a standard way to do it, but each team puts their own interpretation on it, and talent makes a difference. In Tim White's team, for example, there's a man named Johannes Haile Selassie. And Tim compared his talent to somebody who plays the piano and has perfect pitch. He can look in a landscape of rubble or stones and see its pattern recognition. You know, these guys will train in camp. The Leakeys used to have their workers look at the bones they were looking for the night before to kind of get this pattern recognition going. And often it's the Africans that find the fossils best, perhaps because they are able to see things in the landscape they grew up in better. So when you then get someone like Johannes Haile Selassie, who's curator of human evolution at the Cleveland Museum of Natural History now, who went to Berkeley, when you get someone like him who's a PhD, who knows the fossils, can recognize any part of the anatomy with even small bits of bone, and he's working in his own landscape, it's a powerful combination.
Yeah. Now, the essence of this story is about these discoveries that were made really sequentially in the mid-1990s. After years of no discoveries, all of a sudden, bang, bang, bang. Within, what, about 6 months of each other, there were three discoveries?
Yes, well, 94 was the first one, 94, 95, and then there was a series in 98 and 2000 and 2002. So it wasn't within months, but it was within a couple years, things coming fast and furious, pushing back, back, back.
Yeah.
And there have been other discoveries since then, but nothing older or earlier. There are some other skeletons that are being uncovered that are around 4 million years old, which will be very exciting to flesh out these species.
Which was the first of these discoveries, the one in 94 or 95? Which team was that?
Tim White and the Ethiopians that work with him, and they're his co-equals, so I hate to keep saying Tim, but Tim and Johannes and Berhane Asfaw, some of the others. And that was Ardipithecus ramidus, which we keep hearing will be published in total probably in the next year or so. That concludes a very crumbly skeleton, partial skeleton, but it should show us what upright walking looked like around 4.4 million years ago.
Wow, 4.4 million. Now, that seems a long time ago, but within a couple of 3-4 years, it was pushed back further, right? 98?
Yes.
And who was it in 98, and what did they find?
Well, his own team found something 5.8 million years old, but it's mainly just teeth and some other bones of a very closely related fossil they think that's a lot like that. Then Martin Pickford and Brigitte Sanu found a thigh bone that's 6 million years old in Kenya, and I went there. And this thing looks like it was walking upright. They think it's a new type of human ancestor. That's under debate. Is it the same thing that other people have found? We don't know, because they don't have overlapping body parts to sort that out. And then in came Michel Brunet and his team with a stunning skull between 6 and 7 million years old. In Chad, which was mind-blowing because everything else had come from East Africa, the Rift Valley. And suddenly we're talking about Central Africa. So these things were ranging far and wide, you know, early on.
I suppose the first reaction of the other teams must have been, oh, baloney, he didn't find anything in Chad.
I think there was some of that. Brigitte Sanut and Martin Pickford said, oh, it's just an ancestor of a gorilla. It looks more like the ancestor of a female gorilla. So there is some of that that happens. It's hard to know until full analysis has been done. And there are tremendous, this isn't just finding treasures. The analysis that starts is years and years of worth of work, imaging the fossils, reconstructing them, putting them back together, making sure the reconstruction's complete, and then saying, what does this anatomy show us about the way upright walking evolved? Did somebody stand up and walk upright a lot like a modern human right away? Or where there's this funny kind of weird walk in between, like, you know, Monty Python, Minister of Silly Walks or something. How did this upright walking evolve, you know, and why? Was it, you know, someone said to me, was it to dance or, you know, what drove that? So these are the kinds of things they're looking at, the pace of brain development. When did the big brain start expanding? These are the questions that are being asked of these fossils as they look at them carefully.
Ann Gibbons is the author of The First Human, The Race to Discover Our Earliest Ancestors.